This is the posture of the disciples in the gospel lesson this morning. I don't know what they were expecting, but things certainly changed. They were enveloped by the bright cloud, and they heard the voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So this is their posture. We're told they fall down on their face. They're afraid of what they might see. They're terrified. This is kind of awkward for me. Maybe it seems kind of awkward for you. We just don't do this. And maybe this is just a gimmick. Maybe this is just a homiletical ploy. Or maybe this is the posture that we need to take in a world of distraction. We've been talking about different distractions that we deal with. And today is the last of this series. And the distraction that I'd like you to think about is fear. And what I want to share with you today in response to fear can be applied to pretty much any fear that we deal with. I'm going to specifically talk about an issue that we deal with corporately. And this morning, I'm inviting you to believe that in the midst of our distractions, it's that posture of a holy fear that we need, which actually enables us to be present in the midst of distractions. And so that's the title for our sermon this morning, is the posture of presence. You know, I think Peter just wanted to stay on top of the mountain for a while. It's really kind of how this get started. And I don't know. I don't know exactly what Peter's motivation is. I didn't ask him. But I can relate. I can understand why Peter says the things he says. Because there on the mountain, he and James and John see something that is just unbelievable. Like I mentioned earlier, it's like God opened up the curtain of Christ's glory, and he was seen in his fullness. He is glowing. His face shines like the sun. His clothes are white. Your mom never got your whites so white as Jesus' clothes. And then suddenly, two rock stars of the Bible, Elijah, Moses, they're standing there with Jesus talking. In the presence of Peter, James, and John. It's unbelievable. And so, of course, Peter thinks, now we're talking, this is the way it's supposed to be. And he just wants to stay up there for a while. He assumes that's the plan, is that they would stay there for a while. Because you see, when you go down the mountain and get to sea level, it's not so bright. It's downright dark. It's a mess. In the church, the very body of Christ on earth, we see darkness. If you've read through the book of Revelation, you know that John writes seven letters to the seven churches in the first century church. They're actually words from Jesus himself to these churches. And here's what Jesus says to them. He says, you've lost your first love. You are abiding by false teaching. Sexual immorality is rampant. He says the church is lukewarm and God's about to spit her out of his mouth. Sound familiar? We see this darkness. And we gather together our remnant of a church in our rooms, afraid that the church is going to die. We hold on to any glimpse of glory that we can. And so I understand why Peter sees this epiphany and he thinks, let's just camp out here for a while. Yeah? Can you see that? If so, then what you need to know is that this fear actually distracts us. Because there we are, in our own separate rooms, conspiring on how we're going to save the church, Christ's church. And everybody's got a different idea. You get this group of people, about 100 people, and you will get about 110 different ideas on how to save the church, what the church needs. And while we're sharing our idea, we can get downright ugly and argumentative. In our own congregation, maybe, in our own church body, with churches down the street, maybe in our own homes, everybody scrambling to get the microphone. And that's where Peter is. He wants to be heard too. So Peter's got his plan. He says to the Lord, Lord, this is great. This is what's supposed to be happening. So I got an idea. How about I build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't bring Peter and James and John up the mountain so that they could build tents. He didn't bring them up there so that they could avoid the mess down below. He did not bring them up there so that they could be distracted away from the darkness. He brought them up to listen. And rather than listening, Peter talks. Fear distracts us, you see. And so it is that on our face, in reverence and awe and in holy fear, that's the place we need to be. There, mouths covered, quiet. It's actually good to be overwhelmed by your circumstances. It is actually a good thing to despair of yourself. It is good to come to that simple acknowledgement, two truths. There is a God, and I'm not Him. Remember old Job? Even if you haven't read the book, you probably know the story. Job was a righteous man, and yet he was struck down with many things. He lost his family or his children. He lost all of his wealth. His body was plagued by sores. And in the midst of his struggles, even faithful Job shows his heart when finally he breaks and starts calling out to God and saying, "Why are you doing this to me? This isn't fair. I haven't done anything. I deserve an explanation." So then finally, God does show up at the end of the book, and out of the whirlwind, he speaks. The only thing is, he doesn't answer any of Job's questions. Actually, he just responds with a bunch more questions, and they're a lot harder than any of the questions that Job had to deal with. "Job, where were you when I set the foundations of the world? Job, were you involved when I told the seas that you can't go any farther than this? Job, where are you at when the fawn is born of the doe and everything works out okay? Did you have a part in that?" And there in the whirlwind, in the midst of all of these questions, Job is undone. And he realizes his folly. He puts his hand over his mouth because he realizes he's been talking way too much. "I've been talking, Lord, when I should be listening." Go ahead, put your hand on your neighbor's mouth. Just kidding, no. Just making sure you're still listening. But there, in the presence of the holy God who has created all things, Job covers his mouth and says, "I'm sorry, I should be listening." Because see, Job's problem is our problem too. We fear all the wrong things. We get heartburn over things that just don't matter. And so maybe it's good when we're overwhelmed with our circumstances. Maybe it's good when we despair of our own resources, because maybe we need to shed some idols. Maybe we need to let go of some false hopes. It turns out that it was a mercy when God interrupted Peter and basically said, "Pipe down. Peter, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." There's something about that posture that enables us to be present. Did you notice the very next words of Jesus? The Father said, "Listen to him." And the very next words that Peter, James, and John hear as they're covering their faces is, "Rise, have no fear." when we despair of ourselves and listen to what Jesus has to say, when we tune out the distractions of fear all around us and we realize all that matters is what Jesus has to say, here's what he speaks. He speaks words that dispel the fear. A couple weeks ago, I was reading through 1 John, and I came across verse 8, and it just struck me. This is John, the same John, by the way, who wrote Revelation and who talked about all the mess that was there in the church. He writes these words in his first epistle. He says, "The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." And I don't know why, but for some reason, those words just really hit me. I think I needed to be reminded that the darkness is already passing away. This darkness that I get overwhelmed by, that overwhelms you, it's already passing away. The true light is already shining among us. Because you see, the Son of God really did take on human flesh, just like you and I have, and he really did do battle against all of our enemies. Anything that should cause us any real heartburn, Christ himself dealt with on the cross, and he won. He rose from the dead. And try though the world might, try though the devil might, try though sin might, they cannot snuff out the glory of God's love revealed to you on the cross. It's shining. You can't snuff this out. God loves you desperately. So much so, he gives it all up. He holds nothing back there on the cross for you. And you know this now. Can't snuff that out. Neither can you restrain the resurrection. Life wins. Jesus gets his way. There's nothing that anybody can do about it. The only way the devil could stop Jesus' plan is if there was any way that he could undo Jesus' death and resurrection. It can't happen. So it is that the crucified and resurrected Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, now comes to us with the power of his indestructible life, and he brings that to bear in whatever circumstance you and I are dealing with. Whatever the problem here in the congregation, in the church, in your lives, at your homes, in your family, Jesus is present. Is there anyone here who can testify to the fact that there were times in your life when it should not have worked out? There were times in your life when you were desperately afraid. It looks like everything is over. That's it. Game over. And yet, somehow, this peace, you know that peace. It's the peace that the Bible calls the one that surpasses all understanding. That peace is suddenly there. It shouldn't be. It makes no sense. But in your circumstances, you have peace. Why? Because the crucified, resurrected Christ has come to you. He didn't stay on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. He came down to you. Let's not miss that. Let's not be distracted by fear. Lord Jesus, help us. Let us not be distracted by fear. I was thinking about that in our context right now. You're dealing with a newish pastor. I'm dealing with a newish congregation. And is it fair to say that maybe the sentiment that we're all thinking is, all right, let's get going. What are we going to do? New start, come on. I know I feel that way. It's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Here's the plan. I think we actually need to push back against that. Let's not be ruled by the fear. We got to get something going or it's all over. And maybe we just got to listen. Maybe that's our focus right now. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Let Jesus set the agenda. Because we've proven the fact that, well, he's proven the fact that his agenda, it works out. It's the one to go with. And so we listen. When he says, I am with you, have no fear. We listen as Jesus says, a new command I give to you. Here it is. Love one another. If you want to invest in something, that's the agenda. Push back against everything else. Look at the people God puts in front of you and ask God this question, how am I to love them today? If you want help, no problem. Listen to Jesus. He gives you a prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And he teaches you to pray for the items that should be on your agenda. Maybe it is what we need first and foremost, above all things, is that God's name would be hallowed among us, that his kingdom would come, that his will is done, not mine, his will, that he'd give us our daily bread, that he would forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, that he would lead us not into temptation, help us to deal with our temptations, and finally deliver us from evil. That's the agenda. If you want to know what God wants, what Jesus wants, the very Son of God, here it is. He says, this is what you and I should be praying for. Let's do that this week. Let's wake up every morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, remembering we're baptized, and let's push back against all the agendas that come at us like ravening animals, and let's say, thy will be done. Lord, how do you want me to hallow your name today? How shall I love my neighbor? Listen to Jesus. Today, in a little bit, we're going to kneel down here and receive Holy Communion. And even if you don't receive communion today, what you need to know is that Christ has come for you. His gifts are for everyone in this room. You are blessed. And maybe you're not going to fall on your face, but a little reverence and awe wouldn't hurt. We are, after all, in the very presence of God. He has opened heaven to us. We are actually in the presence of angels and archangels and Moses and Elijah and all the company of heaven. And Christ himself descends here among you. And he says, my body broken on the cross, It's all for you. My blood poured out. I'm giving it to you. Listen. Listen to what Jesus says to you. And then rise. Go your way to whatever is in store for you this week. And have no fear. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.